You're ready, Paul. The next session is on patriarchal blessings, but before I start there, a comment or two just that came to me, and I didn't raise my hand and offer any comments at the time, but priesthood. I remember the pastor coming to me when I was a youngster and asking if I would accept a priesthood call, but he didn't tell me what it was. He just said I had a priesthood call. And so I dug into my Doctrine and Covenants, and I began to read about all the different calls, a deacon, a teacher, a priest, and so forth. And so the Lord and I had an argument. And I said to him, if you've got in mind for me to be a teacher, forget it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to accept that responsibility of being someone who is in the middle of marriages and in the middle of bringing people back together. I don't want to do that, and I'm not going to do it, so don't ask me to do it. So when it came time for the call to come, I breathed a sigh of relief. They asked me to be a priest. And so I said, okay, I think I can accept that. The interesting part of it is the Lord had other ideas. And there I wound up in the middle of marriages that weren't doing very well and trying to bring them back together. And I learned to do some real serious praying that I'd never done before. I learned that people's lives were extremely important to our Lord, more important than they were to me. And so I was thrown into that situation and wound up serving as a teacher on several occasions. I've also understood that priesthood is more than a bestowal. It's an eternity thing. It is an act of service. And the better I serve, the better I become. When I really want to be your servant, it changes how I see you. When I really want to be your servant, it changes how I pray. When I really want to be your servant, it changes my dedication to God. And so I find the more humble I can be a servant, the more response the people have. And I find that love is very, very important in servanthood. Now, for priesthood, my topic is patriarchal blessings. I don't know very much about that, except that I know my own patriarchal blessing. And for some strange reason, I have been given eight patriarchal blessings. The first one began... Yes. Okay. You want that microphone fixed? You put it on your phone. Okay. What was that about?
I don't know. I think that's one of the Baptist converts.
I got to keep my mouth to that thing. How am I going to see what I'm doing?
You're a high priest.
okay, I told you that somehow or other in my collection, and I'm not sure why they were given to me all the time, but I have my mother and my father's blessing. Mom gave them to me. She says, I think you're going to be needing these. I thought, that's interesting. So I begin to read them, and I'm not going to read them all to you because it'd take too long. But the very first one was given to my mother in 1926. That's some time ago, isn't it? But the thing that I found out in all of the blessings was that they were given by different individuals, different patriarchs, and yet they contain some of the same subject matter, some of the same blessings, some of the same promises, and some of the same criteria or that which would cause that person to become closer to God, regardless of who it was or who gave the blessing. My mother's blessing was given by a man by the name of Patriarch Ammon White. I did not know them, and maybe some of you have heard of them. I don't know. Have you ever heard of them? Yes, you have. Ammon White. Okay. My mother's blessing is a very specific blessing in teaching her and showing her and guiding her as to how her life should blend with Jesus' life and how he wanted her to be able to have eternal glory. Every one of the blessings that I have, all by different patriarchs, except for some of them, were by the same, but they have different admonitions in them and different directions, and yet every one of them has the same. They all end up saying that the blessing is that they might have eternal life, not death, but eternal life. Every one of the blessings end in that sort of a setting. My mother's blessing tells her what her lineage is. Not all blessings do that. Some do, some do not. The early patriarchs of the church, most of the time, indicated their tribal lineage. Not always, though, but some of the time they do, and some of the time they do not. My mother's blessing, I thought, was so many things in there that were so wonderful, miraculous, marvelous, and that she, of course, was the mother of six of us children, four boys and two girls, and the four boys were something else. I was one of them. So we didn't always do what Mom wanted done, but we always, and I think I've told you, we did sit down around a table and we did listen to her read the scriptures to us, whether we wanted to or not. And of course, Glenn was very rebellious, and he stuck his fingers in his ears and told him, his mom, that he didn't have to listen. But in spite of it, you do hear some things. Anyway, I'm going to read just a little bit of Mom's blessing because it's it has to do with where we are too. It is a truth. And I'm going to just start down somewhere in the middle of it. And inasmuch as thou shalt continue thus in a faithful life, the measure of his grace towards you shall be exceeding great. What a promise. Faithful life. And the experiences which he shall arrange for thee shall enrich thy soul and give thee great joy. Marvelous. But there shall come also at times seasons of trial. Every one of us goes through that. which are only blessings in disguise, to test thee, to strengthen thee. For the mountain may be high, but in the climbing thereof you shall exert energies, and thou become stronger, and as a result, their use. Therefore, hesitate not to bear the trials of life as they come here and there. Pretty good advice if we can bear the trials that come to us in life. Now I'm going to read just a little bit more. I'm going to drop down a ways and read a little bit more out of Mom's Blessing. Thou art indeed an Ephraimite, one called into the world to be one of his saints of latter days. So my mother lived in the latter days, same as you and I do. For in Ephraim the Lord hath great confidence, and he has chosen that from among them he would choose his ministry. Not all ministry comes from Ephraim, but from them. And they would push the nations of the earth together who are righteous unto the gathering places. We are in a gathering place. You are in the center of a gathering place. We are in the center of Zion. This is the center. Therefore unto them is given a great and a responsible position in the work of life. Be thou their helper and their friend. My mother read that to me many years ago. And she asked me, she said, I don't understand that part of my blessing. I don't understand it. And I said to her, I believe that two of your sons were told that they were Ephraimites. Glenn wasn't one of them. They were Ephraimites. She said, yes. I said, you've been their helper and their friend from birth. And so she was overjoyed to know that that had actually taken place within her life. And she was extremely overjoyed about it. I said he was given by Ammon White, and Steve knew about the Whites. The next one was in 1928, which was my father's. So they didn't have him at the same time, and they didn't have him by the same patriarch. Dad's was given to him by Frederick A. Smith, who was a patriarch. Dad's is pretty much the same sort of situation. The Lord knows the desires of thy heart. Isn't that amazing? The Lord knew the desire of his heart. And thy willingness to serve him to the best of thy knowledge, and this is pleasing in his sight. Pleased. The Lord's pleased with us when we follow him. He recognized the peculiar conditions that thou wilt meet in life and the need that thou wilt be thine if thou wilt keep thyself pure and humble in his sight. He will give thee the spirit of wisdom and understanding that thou mayest meet these things wisely and be able to overcome. Interesting. In my dad's blessing, it also tells him, it doesn't say thou art indeed an Ephraimite, it says thou art from a household of Ephraim. Ephraim, as you know, Jacob crossed his hands. And Joseph said to him, not so, Dad. This is the eldest son, and this is the youngest son. And Jacob said, "The Lord constraineth me, and I will give the greater blessing to Ephraim, the younger. And he by the 10,000s will be multiplied to the 1,000 of Manasseh." Only the Lord would know enough to do that. Only the Lord would know which one of the boys and his seed would be the responsive one. And so he gave that blessing. I find it very interesting that both of my parents were of Ephraim. And Ephraim came, in my understanding, and my belief, and my faith, along with Manasseh, to this land, this American land. Ephraim and Manasseh both came here. Many of the prophets were from the tribe of Ephraim in the Book of Mormon. It doesn't tell us that now, so don't go away from here saying that the Lord said that. That's Glenn's opinion, Glenn's understanding of that which has happened. They both came. And in many cases, Ephraim took the lead, like what Jacob crossed his hands and said he would do. So those blessings are a long time. Mother gave them both to me. She said I would need them sometime or other. Is this one of the needs? It is to express to us the importance of the patriarchal blessing and the direction that it gives us in our lives. They're full of direction. They're full of consultation. They are full of the blessings that are contained within our scriptures. Most of your patriarchal references are in the DNC. I know that there were blessings given in the Book of Mormon. It doesn't call them patriarchal blessings, but that's what they were. It simply doesn't say that. The DNC says that. So, we have those two that were given in the 1920s. The next ones that I'm going to use are June's folks, Floyd and Violet Federhoff. Now, that's an old German name, so maybe some of you fit into that category. I don't know. But Federhoff is a German name. Anyway, June was a Federhoff, and these blessings were given by Robert L. West. Any of you know him? See no one that knows him. He was a patriarch that lived in Colorado for a good long while under stake president, and also under a district president, Ward Haugus. You might have known of him or heard of Ward Haugus. I see some heads nodding on that. But anyway, Robert West was the patriarch who gave Floyd and Violet their blessings. Blessings are extremely important because of the direction that it gives them and that which is contained within them. I have a great respect for the patriarchs. We're suffering right now because of that. I only know of two in the restoration. Maybe you can help me. Mike Ballantyne is one, and Vernon Darling is the other one. Are there others that I'm in the Central Missouri restoration branches or even close to that, Buckner or whatever? I don't know only of those two. Now, there are a few other patriarchs, but they're down to less than a dozen in the entire church. Probably less than six in the entire church. And so Vernon has told me that he has 6 to 12 ahead of him all the time because of young people and getting to them. And Vernon's been in the hospital recently here and there. Mike Ballantyne is a little bit stronger. But these very precious guidance and direction in the life of the church and in the people of the church. The young people may be denied. I don't know. Or else there's got to be some changes in the church. Anyway, back to Floyd and Violet Federhoff. Robert West, like I said, gave those, and he gave both of those, one of my favorite states, in the reunion at Palmer Lake in Colorado Springs area. So Colorado has I lived there 34 years. So you know that I come to love that state. I did my hunting, my fishing, everything that a young man needed, I had all right there, and enjoyed it very much. But the blessings were given on August the 24th, 1961. That's still back a ways. I was at that reunion, but I don't remember them getting their blessings at that time. But the same thing is recorded. One of the things that it tells my father-in-law, Floyd, you have been given the privilege and the abilities of leadership. That's interesting. The Lord looked into his life. Those which could be used in the service of the church, if you will humble yourself and continue in prayer and faith to shape your life in such a fashion that God can use you in his service according to his desires. Floyd was a self-made man. He was a union leader in a pretty good-sized company, and he directed the course of things on his own most of the time. But it says here, God can use you in his service according to his desires. Changes the picture a bit, doesn't it? So if you will continue through study, prayer, meditation, faith, and obedience. We need to be an obedient people to do those things which are pleasing in his sight of your heavenly Father. He will grant to you greater blessings, greater privilege than you have yet come to realize in life. I started dating June when she was 14 and I was 16. But we were chaperoned. She was too young to date. And Floyd was our chaperone. And he went with us to a show or wherever we wanted to go, ice skating, roller skating, whatever it was. June's dad was along. So he was very consistent in the way he performed his work. And he was a non-member of the church. Interesting thing. One of the times that he was coming out to our house, we lived out in the country, he was coming out to our house to pick me up, to take me to Homewood ice skating, because I liked to ice skate, and June liked to ice skate, and Floyd could ice skate pretty good himself. I thought he was too old to ice skate, but he wasn't. He could ice skate backwards faster than I could ice skate forward. But anyway, he came out to the house, and in introducing himself to my father and my mother, he saw laying on the table this Book of Mormon. And he said to my dad, I read that book while I was in the service with nothing else to do. And so I read it all the way through. He says, can you get me one of those books? I'd like to have it. Dad said, absolutely, I can get you one of those books. He walked over to his library, picked up a missionary Book of Mormon and handed it to Floyd. 2 years later, Floyd and Violet and June joined the church. because of the Book of Mormon. So he was able to understand and realize the witness of Jesus in it. Mom's blessing, Violet. Now there was a real jewel of a woman. I fell in love with her right away. She was a dandy. She was one of the best cooks you could ever set at a table at. She was one who was very kind, very considerate, was able to control a very headstrong husband, and was very kind, and was very kind to me. The only child they had was the one I married. But Mom was the reason they joined the church. Interesting enough, in Cope, Colorado, right out there on the very eastern edge of Colorado, her mother joined the church under J.J. Cornish many, many years before. Interesting, isn't it, how the Lord reaches out and touches people's lives and individuals. And so her blessing is one of great strength to her and to the family. I read just a little bit of it. Sister Violet, at this time we come into the presence of our Heavenly Father and rejoice in those truths which He has brought into your life. Amazing. The truths that Jesus had brought into her life, early in her life. Through a which has been pleasing to Him and according to His divine plan. Therefore you have been led and directed in life according to the wisdom of your Heavenly Father. And at times when you have sought the presence of the Spirit, it has been with you. At all been times when the prayers and the faith of others have directed your life. Amazing how much your prayers direct my life. Amazing how my prayers direct your life. A God who looks and sees and touches us and blesses us according to that which we seem to need the most. I said those were given by Robert West in a reunion at 1961. The love of my life. Same patriarch, Robert L. West, to June Yvonne Federhoff Friend. Of course, I had an opportunity to have this blessing. Those other four were given to me because they felt like that somewhere along the way I would need them or could use them or could express God's goodness in them. Sister June, as you have in life's approach God's throne of grace from time to time, only He'd know that. Only God would know that. You will find Him and be able to experience communion with Him according to the needs of life. This has been true in your life as you have approached Him in the past and will be true in increasing measure as you continue in harmony with His will. Condition yourself to the direction of the Spirit to guide and direct you in the home affairs. Home affairs. Which home affairs have to do with the rearing of your children, creating a good, godly home and a Zionic home for those who reside therein, your children and your loving companion? This was given in 1962. At that time, we only had one child. But it's interesting to note, in her blessing, it says children three more times. We had four children. Coincidence? Nah. Patriarchal ministry? Yes. I'm going to stop there with June's blessing. There's a lot contained within it. I'm running out of time. I have two other blessings that were given to me. I don't know why they gave them to me, but they did. Paul and Jackie Frenstahl. These blessings were given by two different patriarchs out of Indianapolis, Indiana. One was by Patriarch B.A. Lennox, and the other was by Melvin Ellis Henderson. Jackie's was given by Brother Henderson. Within these blessings, it tells Jackie what a delightful person she is to everyone. Just one of those friendly people. Tells her all about that. Only God would know that she would do that kind of a work. A friendly sister to all the people she came in contact with. If you know her, you know she's one of the most easy to love people you've ever been around. And that gives it her blessing. Like I said, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to cut some of it short. But anyway, Paul's blessing. Now that's something else again. Tells him how ridiculous he is sometimes. No, I threw that in. I'm going to read just one sentence. Your home needs to be that of haven of a rest, separate and apart from the treadmill of work, and there needs to be that rapport with your family, which will bring peace and contentment, which will bring the hope and the joy that should be in the heart of every home, not just his. Our home. And so I find that very interesting that the patriarch would tell him that. So there's seven. The last one is my own, by Patriarch Robert West, was given in 1957. I tried to get June to have hers at the same time, but she said she wasn't ready. And that was worked out great. Now I'm going to read you something that's you can see. I don't have to tell you, but you can look and you can see it. God has bestowed upon you health and strength. Now, I look pretty good for 81, don't I? You don't have to look too hard. God has bestowed upon you health and strength and an opportunity to reside upon the earth in this dispensation of time. We are in the closing of this dispensation. We are just before He comes again. How soon, I'm not telling you. I don't know. Neither do you. He has also given you the clarity of mind and a vision that will better help you unfold the gospel. Vision. That's beyond clarity of mind. That's a gift. As you have opportunity to study, meditate, and learn of Him. I've had opportunity in the last 2.5 years to study, meditate, and to ponder more than I ever have before in my life. I'm sure He wants me to share it with you. I'm sure that He wants me to share all the great things of the mysteries of His kingdom that I possibly can come to understand and give it freely and to be a servant. Thank you. I've finished. Paul, you want to say a blessing, a prayer for blessing, and we'll go from there. Please.
If you'd all bow your heads, we'll have a closing prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for these times together. They are so precious and so few. And we take advantage of them, Father, because it enlightens our hearts, it gives us strength, it gives us courage, it gives us hope and assurance, Father, that all those things that have been promised to us are available to us if it is the desire of our heart and we would seek You out. Help us, Father, to continue to do this. Help us to be strong. Help us to be worthy to be called Your followers. And Father, as we finish the camp experience here in just a couple of days now, we know, Father, that there'll be many cherished memories from it. And we pray, Father, that You'll help us to witness to others around us, within our congregation, with our neighbors and our friends and those associates we have. And help us, Father, to be a witness through our very continence, through our very acts of good deed and love for other people. Help us to be a good witness for You. We thank You, Father, for these things, and we thank You for a blessing upon each person here today and their families, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.